Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Live in L.A., no better place in America to be today, that's for sure. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Fox Sports Radio. We're on FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me today. Well, it was quite an evening in the NBA, not just for Dirk and D-Wade. Quite an evening, Joy.
What do you mean, Colin? It was so quiet. It's a normal, forgetful night in NBA history.
Oh, you know, it's funny. All the big brands in sports right now are doing pretty well. The Duke basketball, Notre Dame football, Yankees, Red Sox. You know, a lot of the big brands, you know, Michigan football, Kentucky basketball, they're all got their act together, all except the Los Angeles Lakers. Oy, 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 oy. Magic Johnson, team president, steps down, doesn't tell anybody. So let's start there. We've been saying this for weeks, actually a couple of months. People around Los Angeles say, Colin, you've turned, you're so tough on the Lakers. No, I'm not. I'm just honest. My loyalty is not to fans or teams or brands. It's to honesty. It travels with me job to job. Being an NBA team president sounds glamorous. A lot of jobs do. But it's a complete and utter grind, mostly in your office or traveling to Dusseldorf to find a backup point guard. Magic goes on a yacht 5 weeks every summer with a bunch of his buddies, does it every year. It's awesome. Wish I could. But you can't as team president. It's a grind job with a glamorous title. And Magic wasn't up for it from day one. And I actually thought last night was perfect the way Magic resigned. It's the way he ran the Lakers. Off the cuff, unprepared, rambling, making it up day to day through the media. That's how he would have resigned, right? He's beloved. He's universally liked. He's a really, really nice guy. And today he'll get mostly a soft landing because he's Magic. He's hard to not like. You can not like MJ or Kobe's intensity or LeBron's ego. A lot of stars you can not like. Magic's impossible to not like. Meet him once, you like him. Lights up a room. But yesterday what Magic did, let's be honest, it was embarrassing and it was unprofessional and it was kind of, it was just a rambling, incoherent mess of stuff. And that's how he ran the Lakers. Okay, he didn't tell his boss, Jeannie Buss, didn't tell Rob Pelinka, didn't tell LeBron, LeBron's people, didn't tell anybody, didn't tell the PR person. They were all scrambling to catch up. Well, Colin, you know, Magic's got a lot of, he's distracted, he's got a lot. Then don't take the job. No excuses. Own it. Mirrors, they still work. Don't take the job if you're not ready to commit. That's why Chris Mullin got fired at St. John's yesterday or resigned. He wouldn't put in the work. That's why Clyde Drexler, a star, was a disaster coaching his alma mater, Houston Cougars. Show up at tip-off. Wouldn't put in the work. I thought actually when I watched this, it was the perfect way for Magic to resign. The way he ran the team. Just kind of rambling. Not really buttoned up, not fully committed, not detailed. It just felt like the same reason he didn't work as a head coach, a late-night talk show host, a team president. You got to be fully committed. I say this about comedy all the time. You think comedy is just fun and games. No, the best comedians, it's a serious business. Steve Harvey is writing jokes all day. Howard Stern's writing jokes the minute he gets home. Jerry Seinfeld, comedy's a serious business. A lot of businesses look like fun, maybe this one. It's a complete and utter grind. NBA president, it's not a 50-hour work week. It's not a 60. It's an 80-hour work week in certain times of the year. I'm not the only one saying this, and I'm not the only one been saying it for months. Adrian Wojnarowski, I read his tweet yesterday. He said, since taking over, Magic never fully committed to the job. Traveling, away from the team, office hours limited. Didn't do a lot of scouting. Running a team takes tremendous commitment of time and energy. I like Magic. He's impossible not to like. But he said something yesterday during that kind of rambling, neither here nor there discourse that was like shocking. Here it is.
Did anybody see this team? It's, everything is in place. We add one guy, and this team is in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. Because we're not too far away from everybody. We're heading in the right direction. That's what I'm concerned about. If we were not, I'd probably be staying. But since I feel we're one star away and one or two role players away, and so I'm happy.
Compared to what, the Phoenix Suns? That's like saying I'm a nose, smaller ears, perfect skin away from being George Clooney. It ain't close, folks. Okay, this is closer to the Titanic than it is, you know, smooth sailing luxury liner. Yeah, we're just a star away. Yeah, you couldn't get an interview with LaMarcus Aldridge. You couldn't keep Dwight Howard. Just a star away. You don't have the assets. Lonzo's not healthy. Either is Brandon Ingram. LeBron's aging's got an injury. Listen, Magic needed to step down. That part I like. His motives are fairly clear. He wanted to can Luke Walton and Jeannie busted not. But this organization, and this is why I've been ripping it for 2 months, I'm not loyal to teams that I live in the city of. My job's not to protect the Lakers. It's to be honest about the Lakers. They don't need my protection. Okay? They got too many celebrities, too many Mercedes in the parking garage. I want a few beat-up preludes. I want some grinders. I thought Magic actually was completely honest with the one thing he said about leaving the Lakers. Let's play this.
I want to go back having fun. I want to go back being who I was before taking on this job. I was happier when I wasn't the president. I'm not the guy who I have to watch what I say, put a muzzle on me, you know, that type of thing. I'm a free bird, and I've been handcuffed, and I don't like that.
He's totally honest. Magic is. That's why he didn't work as a late-night talk show host. That's why he can't be a coach. That's why he can't be a team president. That's why it was a mistake hiring him. Magic's a great guy. The Dodgers' Magic is the perfect Magic. He sits in the stands. He's funny. He goes on pregame shows. Everybody likes him. He connects people. I mean, like he's like a human LinkedIn. He's like a human Facebook. I mean, he just connects people. That's what he does. Like, Magic is offended if you don't come to him when you move to Los Angeles and you don't come to Magic and say, hey, can you help me? Magic's offended. He is LinkedIn. He is Facebook. That's why he's great. With a big old smile and a big warm hug. But this job's for grinders. This is a grind job. And Magic admitted it. I want to be Magic. Then go be Magic. We love that Magic. Let's not mess with that Magic. That Magic's awesome. Team President Magic never fit. And he admitted it there. Let me shift to this. Jeannie Buss now, she's the owner of the Lakers. For those who don't know, her father, the late, great Jerry Buss, owned the Lakers and then got some kids, Jim and Jeannie. Jeannie's always been like operation side, right? Not the basketball hoop side. She hires people for that. Very well liked, a lot of energy, universally liked, good person. But this I don't like. After Magic bailed and didn't give her a heads up, she ran to Twitter and said, "Oh, Irvin, I love working with you. We come a long way. We'll continue the jersey. We love you." Heart emoji, heart emoji, heart emoji. No, stop. No. That's not the time for heart emojis. I need grown-up Jeannie. I need hard-ass Jeannie. I need Jeannie who fired her brother. Your organization is in a free fall. It's a laughingstock. The Clippers were drinking Cristal last night. They're going to the playoffs. I don't want to ever see a heart emoji until you're in the Western Conference Finals. This is the tweet I want to see from Jeannie Buss, who, again, this is in her. She should have come out and said the Lakers will immediately begin the process of finding a president who's fully committed to bringing this organization another championship. Little shot at Magic. He deserved it. Walked out, didn't give you a heads up. It's not the time for heart emojis. Pat Riley this morning, if somebody walked out on him, not doing heart emojis. There's a time and a place for those. It wasn't after somebody bailed on your world-class organization. It was adorable. It was sweet. And it looked incredibly lightweight, and you're not. I need hard-ass Jeannie. Walks in a room, and people go, oh, She just fired her brother. People are a little tense. People know that you own the team. It is grown-up time. Okay? That's what it is now. Doesn't mean you don't love Irvin. But the message last night to consumers and fans is, I still love everybody. I'd be pissed. You should be. Your late great father would be. This is not the way you do business. Call an impromptu press conference and bail on everybody. Not acceptable. You can do the tweets and the hearts and all that stuff. That's part of your brand, and you're awesome, and I love you. You should be a little angry this morning. You should be a little defiant this morning. You should take the reins this morning and go out and find the world's best GM. Magic divorced you through Facebook. He unliked you. Didn't give you a heads up. Magic called Jeannie his sister. Well, guess what? Sometimes sisters have to turn to brothers and say, we're cutting you off. It's time. The Lakers are in a full-fledged circling-the-drain crisis. The Yankees aren't. Michigan football isn't. Duke basketball, Notre Dame football, Red Sox, Dodgers aren't. Every big Real Madrid isn't. Manchester United isn't. Every big brand in the world is humming, except the Lakers. Celtics are. They're fine. Guys in the building, Clippers, they're rolling. May get Kawhi. It's crisis. All hands on deck. I want to see some butt kicking. It's in you. I've seen it. I like it. I want more of it. All right, we are loaded today. There is a massive, massive fork in the road. Two lanes. The Lakers have to pick one. The Clippers did. The Warriors did years ago. The Celtics did. The Lakers in the next 2 to 3 months have to make a choice. And I'll lay them out for you. You tell me which one you take.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Magic Johnson resigned last night, president of the Lakers. Exit interviews today. Luke's not talking. Palinka's not talking. Jeannie's not talking. LeBron's not talking. We're talking. Nice to have you in. This happens to people a lot in life, businesses, people, all sorts of times. It's called a fork in the road moment. You can go left. You can go right. And my opinion's always been, whatever way you go hard, and you don't look back. I've done it multiple times in my life. You get a fork in the road. Stay with this company, go to a new one. Go hard and go all in. But pick a lane. Don't split it. The Lakers are at the fork in the road time in their franchise history. Now, the Celtics had this. Remember, they had an old KG and an old Paul Pierce and Ray Allen moved to Miami, and they said, let's just get rid of them. They trade them all to Brooklyn, get a bunch of draft picks, trade Doc Rivers, get Brad Stevens, fork in the road. They went total rebuild. Clippers had this opportunity years ago. Lob City, Blake, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan. They wanted draft picks. They wanted more free agent mobility. They moved on. Remember the Warriors a couple years ago, the current NBA dynasty? Chris Mullins' jersey retirement ceremony. The new Warrior owner, Joe Lacob, got booed by the fans who were upset. They chose young Steph Curry as the future and not the all-star Monte Ellis. Do you remember this was Rick Barry? Remember that night?
Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to. He is going to change this franchise. Come on, you're doing yourself a disservice. All of the wonderful accolades being said to you, for you to treat this man who is spending his money to do the best that he can to turn this franchise around, and I know he's going to do it. So give him the respect he deserves.
And that man did it. Fans are generally wrong on that stuff. Steph Curry was the right choice. Not the really talented Monte Ellis, who sort of disappeared after that. And the Clippers, by the way, were right to do what they did. They weren't going anywhere with Lob City. DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin were overpaid. Chris Paul needed better teammates. And by the way, the Celtics were right to get rid of their stars too. In all three cases, they moved off the All-Stars to rebuild. And they were all right. Celtics, Clippers, Warriors, they were all right. So the Lakers now have two choices. Here's the fork in the road. A, just turn the team over to LeBron. Hire Ty Lue or Mark Jackson. He's represented by Clutch Sports. Hire David Griffin as a GM, formerly in Cleveland. LeBron always liked him. Go hard after Kyrie Irving, who LeBron's played with. And give up all the young assets and go get Anthony Davis. That's left. You can go left and do that. Or you can go right and actually, you know, build a team, build a new culture, keep your young guys, have a plan, stick with it, because you've bounced around in your plan multiple times. You had a plan, then you re-signed Kobe for two, and then you had a plan and you brought LeBron in, a different plan. Or you can build a new plan and look for younger free agents and not necessarily max guys. And this would involve trading LeBron. What? Work for the Clippers, work for the Warriors, work for the Celtics. Are you saying, Colin, they should trade LeBron? I'm saying it is fork in the road time. What would I do? I'd sit and I'd think about it for a few weeks. And then I would fly my corporate jet. You can do that when you own a team. And I'd go to teams and I'd sit down and I'd meet in private places. And I'd see what I could get for LeBron. And I would listen to all the offers. Because I still think LeBron's going to come back next year and be great. But if he suffers one more major injury, oh my. This is an utter disaster. Fork in the road time. You have to look long and hard at yourself. Fork is build it all around LeBron, go all in on him. Or consider trading him and see what you can get. I'm not telling you which one's the right one, but I am telling you if I ran the Lakers, I'd make calls. I'd listen to offers. I'd see if there's a Brooklyn out there that would give me basically every draft pick in the next 8 years. I would listen, and if a team would do that, then I'd move him. If somebody gave me 9 number one picks or whatever it was, or is it 19? Whatever it was. If somebody backs up the Brinks truck and gives me a decent player or two and a bunch of draft picks and free agent flexibility, I'd listen. I think LeBron still has remarkable value. Again, it's fork in the road time. I'm not telling you which is right. But I'm telling you the Celtics and the Clippers and the Warriors moved off the All-Stars. Now, they weren't LeBron, but they moved off them. And I think they all won. You have to at least take calls, make visits, and do something in sports that always works. Listen. Just listen. Call, ask, put the phone on speaker, and just listen.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Magic Johnson, according to a story here, reportedly was given power to fire Luke Walton and was going to today. And Jeannie Buss didn't want him to. That's what you're reading. That's my gut feeling of the many things. And then Magic said, you know, I'm out. Parachutes out of the organization. Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka were huddling last night. I'm not sure if Luke Walton survives. I am texting furiously in between breaks. As of now, he's the Laker coach. I will say, here's the downside of Luke Walton if you're Luke Walton. Players leave you and get better, which is the opposite of Phil Jackson, where everybody had their best years with Phil. Nobody leaves Brad Stevens in Boston and gets better. 95% of the guys that leave Belichick in New England get worse. People leave. Julius Randle left Luke Walton and discovered a three-point shot. Brooke Lopez, best shooting year. D'Angelo Russell, all-star. Lou Williams is going to be part of NBA history off the bench. When people leave you and they get better consistently, that is a problem. I don't think he's a great coach. I never did. I thought he was over his head when he took the job. I said that and got major pushback. I said, show me his resume. What's he done? Oh, he won with the Warriors. Joy and I could coach them, you know, through most of the regular season and win 75% of the games. Mike Brown Luke Walton, Steve Kerr. That's not a shot at Steve Kerr. It's the best offensive team in league history. Durant, Boogie. I mean, Clay, Steph. Here's my problem with Luke. Not only do the players get better, but what happened to Luke I've seen happen a million times. He has a famous connected dad. Because of that, he's met all the right people in life. And through all those power brokers, he has risen quickly up the food chain and then suddenly lands, after two brief years as an assistant with the Warriors, as head coach of the NBA's version of the Dallas Cowboys and baseball's version of the New York Yankees. That's a little quick. That's a little quick. By the way, there's a great coach right now named Nick Nurse. Everybody thinks he should be coach of the year. I'm going to give you Nick Nurse, his coaching history before he got the Raptors job. I'm just going to read this. You can put the camera on me. An assistant at Northern Iowa, a player coach for the Derby Storm, Grandview, South Dakota, Birmingham Bullets, something called Tolindus Ostende, Manchester Giants, I thought they were a soccer team, the London Towers, the Oklahoma Storm, the Brighton Bears, the Oklahoma Storm as an assistant, Iowa Energy, is that a publicly traded company? Rio Grande Valley Vipers, and then the Toronto Raptors as an assistant and a head coach. Had to work up the food chain, stay at crappy hotels, drive a Kia. Okay, that's what I want. By the way, here's Mike Malone, coaching the Denver Nuggets. Not Post Malone, not Karl Malone, Mike Malone. Here it is. His first job was Friends School of Baltimore. He was an assistant. Then Oakland, then Providence, then Manhattan. Not the city, a team. The New York Knicks, the Cavs, the Hornets, the Warriors. Assistant, 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 assistant. Then Sacramento and Denver. That's what I want to see in the resume from the next coach. All right. Budenholzer, Mike Budenholzer of Milwaukee, best young coach in the game. Coached in Denmark, 17 years with the Spurs. Luke Walton, famous dad, lots of connections. Phil Jackson calls on his behalf. Hey, you're coaching the Lakers. That almost never equals success. That doesn't equal success. I want to see cheap hotel rooms. I want to see 12 years in a crappy European league where you had to fight for scraps on the dinner table and had to figure out how to win games, or you got fired and you and your family had to go live in a two-bedroom apartment in Dusseldorf. When I lived on the East Coast, I saw this all the time. Rich connected dad, sends him to prep school, gets his way into the door at the big sports company, and then has never faced an obstacle.
Luke did play.
Yeah.
Though.
Well, okay. There are a lot of guys that played.
Right. But, I mean, he played for 10 years. I do think that your resume as a player should account for a little bit.
Magic is a great player.
No, but to say that he's just been chilling and then all of a sudden got this assistant job, like, I agree he does have connections, clearly. There's no denying that.
For 2 years, assistant to the Warriors? I mean, by the way, that's the easiest team to be assistant on. It's the highest IQ team in the league.
I'm totally with you, and I don't think that Luke did the best job that he could do. I think the bare minimum that he needed to do was connect with LeBron. That was his biggest mistake. But at the end of the day, those other teams you mentioned also have a lot of talent and connectivity as well.
Yeah,
he didn't walk into the best situation.
I think he needed 6 more years as an assistant. I think it's hurt Jason Kidd. And Jason Kidd's a point guard. So I'm telling you, folks, this coaching thing is hard. When you're going against the Mike Malones and the Nick Nurses and the Budenholzers, and they've coached kids and 18-year-olds and 28 and 48 and vets, and they've been crapped on, and they've been, you know, the coaching is hard. And sometimes, as a player, it can help you. Sometimes it can hurt you because players think they can manipulate the coach. And sometimes you weren't a great player, you were a good player, and players don't respect you. Everybody in Milwaukee respects Budenholzer. Like, I'm not saying they should fire Luke, but I don't think he's a great coach, and I think the Lakers should have a great coach.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, let's not waste any time. By the way, this just out per Ramona Shelburne. She does a great job. LeBron James was stunned to learn of Magic Johnson's decision, but despite Magic's abrupt resignation, LeBron stands behind Jeannie Buss and the organization, the source told Ramona Shelburne. With that, via phone, we go to Bill Oram, Lakers writer for The Athletic. Had him on a couple of weeks ago. All right, Bill, let's start with this. Let's go to the scene last night. What did you just make of the entire scene in Magic?
Colin, it was unlike anything I've ever seen. You know, just to kind of paint the picture for you, Luke Walton had just done his nightly pregame media availability. It's game number 82. It is widely thought that this is going to be his last pregame news huddle as the head coach of the Lakers. And so there was some sentimentality, you know, he kind of danced around that fact. And then he wraps up, walks into the locker room. Magic Johnson had been hovering, and he kind of walked over and kind of seemed like he was joking, goes, when do I get to go? And then there's a beat, and he says, no, I'm going to go. Stan steps behind the podium, talks about his love for Jeannie Buss, and quits his job. Unlike anything I've ever seen, one of the most stunning things I've ever been on hand for. And really, I think has to go down as one of the biggest stunners in Lakers history. I mean, you know, obviously Magic's retirement as a player is probably number one. There was a press conference in 1981 when Pat Riley became the head coach, and Jerry Buss tried to name Pat Riley and Jerry West co-coaches, and Jerry West basically in the middle of a press conference said, oh no, I'm not doing that. But then you've got to put Magic Johnson's stunning, abrupt resignation right there near the top of that list. You know, it was surreal to see him in that setting because he was so off the cuff and shooting from the hip and speaking from the heart as well. I mean, it was hard to watch that and not feel like it was pretty genuine what he was saying about his love for Jeannie Buss, his love for the organization, the anguish he felt it was causing Jeannie to basically be put in a position where two people she loved and cared about and believed in as stewards of the Lakers organization were kind of pitted against each other in Luke Walton and Magic Johnson. And what's crazy is we still don't know what Luke Walton's future is. We don't know if he will remain the head coach of the Lakers. And Magic stepped down, seemingly falling on the sword so Jeannie could continue to move forward with Luke. And I don't think there has been any clarity that that is going to be the case. So we haven't heard from Jeannie Buss. We haven't really heard from anybody in leadership with the Lakers. Rob Pelinka is still the general manager of this team. He has not been available. He will not talk today. We are here at the Lakers facility for exit interviews. We've heard from Mo Wagner, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, but nobody who really has any authority to tell us what is going on with this organization.
Oh boy, rudderless. So you wrote an article for The Athletic talking about LeBron's relationship with his teammates after the injury. Your quote was, he wasn't around, didn't allow him to travel, the injury. He'd arrive at home games, you know, moments before tip-off, once with a glass of wine in hand. This was when players started to look at James a bit differently. Do you think trading LeBron is on the table, Bill?
I don't think it is yet, but I do think that there are some factors to pay attention to. Depending on who comes in as the new president of basketball operations, I think who they hire will give you a pretty good indication of how they view LeBron and what they are trying to accomplish with this hire. If they go out and get somebody like Pat Riley, I mean, you have to think that that he's here to make it work with LeBron. If they go get somebody like David Griffin, same thing. But there are other executives out there, Michael Winger with the Clippers, who had no trouble trading Blake Griffin and trading Tobias Harris to do what was right for the team. I think you'd have to raise an eyebrow and wonder if maybe there was a more creative approach forthcoming. But for the time being, I think the Lakers remain committed to LeBron. Jeannie Buss, we've seen kind of how she views loyalty, both in hiring and with players. You go back to the two-year extension that she championed for Kobe Bryant while he was still recovering from the Achilles. You know, that was a gift of a kind of a farewell tour and, you know, one final thank you. I think that she views what LeBron did in choosing the Lakers as a real validation of the brand and of her father's vision. So I think it would take a lot for her to sign off on trading him, frankly. But I think, but come next season, year two of that contract, if things are not getting better, if the Lakers do not look like a playoff team, it may require some bold thinking. And keep in mind, LeBron James does not have a no trade clause. So he is at the mercy of the Lakers organization. Now, bold thinking, creative thinking outside the box has not been a hallmark of this team, frankly. And so I'd have a hard time seeing them doing something like trading LeBron. That is a big time star on a team that values big time stars above all else. But I can certainly tell you that in many NBA front offices, that would be on the table.
Okay, I've only got about 45 seconds left. Bill Orme, The Athletic, subscribe, read his stuff, we do. You said Pat Riley. Is that a possibility?
Why not? He should, for him, you know, there's always been an angst about the way things ended with LeBron. Obviously, left the Lakers in the prime of his career. There are two circles there that I think he could close kind of in this final chapter of his career. Obviously, he has a deep relationship with Miami, has done incredible things there. But if you're Jeannie Buss, he would check two boxes. One, he is seasoned. He has shown he can do the job. He is admired. He's a Hall of Famer. And he also does check the box that Jeannie values, which is being a member of the Lakers family. So I don't have any, I'm not saying that is going to happen, but there is not a single phone call that Jeannie Buss should be scared to make, whether it's R.C. Buford, Sam Presti, Bob Myers. And I think Pat Riley needs to be on that list too. Jerry West as well.
Bill Oram, The Athletic, Lakers writer. Man, that was good. Bill, drinks on me. We got to hang out or something. You come on the show and give us all sorts of information. I don't do anything. Bill, I love you. Thank you so much for giving us your time today at the Laker facility.
Anytime, Colin. I'm going to need it.
All right. Aren't we all? He covers the Lakers. Does a great job. I give the I should get a free subscription from The Athletic, to be honest with you. Given that so much press. A lot of people watch this show.
Or you could say they provide us with such quality content.
Oh, you're right. I got selfish there for a second.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I like people to give me free stuff. I kind of got into my own.
Everybody loves free stuff, but, you know, that's how
you're
the world
right.
goes
they,
around.
They give me free writing, and I give
They're
them free.
They're not volunteering.
So we have a
services.
Mutual relationship, mutual yes. beneficial relationship. That's right. A very good point. Way to shoot me down. You know, I need to, sometimes you just got to
support others in our
yeah,
business.
You're right. We need to support people too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I need somebody to hold me accountable. You
I
here,
try.
Wife at home. I have to have people hold me accountable. I just go off into crazy train land. We flew in Rick Bucher to be on our show today. We got a great last hour. This thing is, they're having excellent interviews right now.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Ah, here we go, hour three. This is The Herd, live in Los Angeles. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. It's been a wild show. Absolutely wild show. We're also available on Sirius XM Channel 83. You know, I just got to say this, Joy, is that, you know, I think kids should go to college and for a couple years and grow up, because I don't know what I would have done without college. It's when I grew up, I was a mess, and it made my bed, made dishes, made meals, made breakfast, made my own plans. You kind of grow up. And in basketball, if you're a great talent, high school, year of college, off to the NBA, the kid that's been so great for the Lakers in this mess has been Kyle Kuzma, who stayed in college for multiple years. He's been great on TV today. He understands it. He's great on social media. You know, we just want it in basketball. We want to find the talent, get them paid, and get them going. Take a deep breath. Live a little. Be in college. Now, you may not like the way college works. They should be paid, blah, blah, blah. I get it. It's a separate issue. But the idea that college doesn't matter, this Kyle Kuzma kid, in swimming in disarray all year, the whole organization. The two kids that have been grown-ups are Josh Hart, stayed in college for like 4 years, and Kyle Kuzma. There's value to college. Not just basketball. Life.
Well, it's just
it's a grown-up
life
time.
Experience.
Yeah.
Like, you're just usually older. And like you said, you've had more time to grow up and grow up around people who are also growing up with you, as
yeah.
opposed to just
and make a
going
bunch of mistakes
into being around a bunch of adults who have higher expectations of you. I still have zero issue with leaving college early, but there is some value to it, obviously.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter was saying, "Dad, I'm stressing out," and I said to her, "That's part of your education. I just don't pay for the stressing out."
Stressing out.
She was going, "I'm stressing out," and I said,
Don't you sometimes wish you could stress out over
schoolwork? Yeah, but I did tell my daughter.
It's like,
I said,
you just start filling out your taxes, and then you really miss stress. And
life
those
is all about stress,
yes.
right? How you handle it. I said
managing
that stress
is probably the biggest thing that you learn in college about being an adult.
Stress.
Yes.
Test.
Stress
midterm.
Management.
Get it right. Get fired. You'll be out. Lose your scholarship. I mean, it's all that stuff. So anyway, 15 minutes. Rick Bucher off a plane in the Bay Area. We flew him here this morning. He'll stop by with all the latest stuff. Well, last night was about D-Wade and Dirk, right? That's what you thought going into the night. But then Magic Johnson, ad-lib, stole all the headlines when he stepped down as team president of the Lakers. So, of course, I'm starting there. We've been saying this for weeks, actually a couple of months. People around Los Angeles say, Colin, you've turned. You're so tough on the Lakers. No, I'm not. I'm just honest. My loyalty is not to fans or teams or brands. It's to honesty. It travels with me job to job. Being an NBA team president sounds glamorous. A lot of jobs do. But it's a complete and utter grind, mostly in your office or traveling to Dusseldorf to find a backup point guard. Magic goes on a yacht 5 weeks every summer with a bunch of his buddies, does it every year. It's awesome. Wish I could. But you can't as team president. It's a grind job with a glamorous title. And Magic wasn't up for it from day one. And I actually thought last night was perfect, the way Magic resigned. It's the way he ran the Lakers. Off the cuff, unprepared, rambling, making it up day to day through the media. He's beloved. He's universally liked. He's a really, really nice guy. And today he'll get mostly a soft landing because he's Magic. He's hard to not like. You can not like MJ or Kobe's intensity or LeBron's ego. A lot of stars you can not like. Magic's impossible to not like. Meet him once, you like him. Lights up a room. But yesterday what Magic did, let's be honest, it was embarrassing and it was unprofessional. And it was kind of, it was just a rambling, incoherent mess of stuff. And that's how he ran the Lakers. Okay, he didn't tell his boss, Jeannie Buss. Didn't tell Rob Pelinka. Didn't tell LeBron, LeBron's people, didn't tell anybody. Didn't tell the PR person. They were all scrambling to catch up. Well, Colin, you know, Magic's got a lot of, he's distracted. He's got a lot. Then don't take the job. No excuses. Own it. Mirrors, they still work. Don't take the job if you're not ready to commit. I thought actually when I watched this, it was the perfect way for Magic to resign. The way he ran the team. Just kind of rambling, not really buttoned up, not fully committed, not detailed. It just felt like the same reason he didn't work as a head coach, a late night talk show host, a team president. You got to be fully committed. I say this about comedy all the time. You think comedy is just fun and games. No, the best comedians, it's a serious business. Steve Harvey is writing jokes all day. Howard Stern's writing jokes the minute he gets home. Jerry Seinfeld, comedy's a serious business. A lot of businesses look like fun. Maybe this one. It's a complete and utter grind. NBA president, it's not a 50-hour work week. It's not a 60. It's an 80-hour work week in certain times of the year. I'm not the only one saying this, and I'm not the only one been saying it for months. Adrian Wojnarowski, I read his tweet yesterday. He said, since taking over, Magic never fully committed to the job. Traveling away from the team, office hours limited. Didn't do a lot of scouting. Running a team takes tremendous commitment of time and energy. I like Magic. He's impossible not to like. But he said something yesterday during that kind of rambling, neither here nor there discourse that was like shocking. Here it is.
Did anybody see this team? Everything is in place. We add one guy and this team is in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. Because we're not too far away from everybody. We're heading in the right direction. That's what I'm concerned about. If we were not, I'd probably be staying. But since I feel we're one star away and one or two role players away, and so I'm happy.
That's like saying I'm a nose, smaller ears, perfect skin away from being George Clooney. It ain't close, folks. Okay, this is closer to the Titanic than it is, you know, smooth sailing luxury liner. Yeah, we're just a star away. Yeah, you couldn't get an interview with LaMarcus Aldridge. You couldn't keep Dwight Howard. Just a star away. You don't have the assets. Lonzo's not healthy. Either is Brandon Ingram. LeBron's aging's got an injury. Listen, Magic needed to step down. That part I like. His motives are fairly clear. He wanted to can Luke Walton and Jeannie Buss did not. But this organization, and this is why I've been ripping it for 2 months, I'm not loyal to teams that I live in the city of. My job's not to protect the Lakers. It's to be honest about the Lakers. They don't need my protection. Okay, I got too many celebrities, too many Mercedes in the parking garage. I want a few beat up preludes. I want some grinders. I thought Magic actually was completely honest with the one thing he said about leaving the Lakers. Let's play this.
I want to go back having fun. I want to go back being who I was before taking on this job. I was happier when I wasn't the president. I'm not the guy who I have to watch what I say, put a muzzle on me. you know, that type of thing. I'm a free bird, and I've been handcuffed, and I don't like that.
He's totally honest. Magic is. That's why he didn't work as a late-night talk show host. That's why he can't be a coach. That's why he can't be a team president. That's why it was a mistake hiring him. Magic's a great guy. The Dodgers Magic is the perfect Magic. He sits in the stands. He's funny. He goes on pregame shows. Everybody likes him. He connects people. I mean, like, he's like a human LinkedIn. He's like a human Facebook. I mean, he just connects people. That's what he does. Like, Magic is offended if you don't come to him when you move to Los Angeles and you don't come to Magic and say, hey, can you help me? Magic's offended. He is LinkedIn. He is Facebook. That's why he's great. With a big old smile and a big warm hug. But this job's for grinders. This is a grind job. And Magic admitted it. I want to be Magic. Then go be Magic. We love that Magic. Let's not mess with that Magic. That Magic's awesome. Team President Magic never fit. And he admitted it there. Let me shift to this. Jeannie Buss now, she's the owner of the Lakers. For those who don't know, her father, the late, great Jerry Buss owned the Lakers and then got some kids, Jim and Jeannie. Jeannie's always been like operation side, right? Not the basketball hoop side. She hires people for that. Very well liked, a lot of energy, universally liked, good person. But this I don't like. After Magic bailed and didn't give her a heads up, she ran to Twitter and said, Irvin, I love working side by side with you. You've brought us a long way. We will continue the journey. We love you. Heart emoji, heart emoji. No, stop. No. That's not the time for heart emojis. I need grown-up Jeannie. I need hard-ass Jeannie. I need Jeannie who fired her brother. Your organization is in a free fall. It's a laughingstock. The Clippers were drinking Cristal last night. They're going to the playoffs. I don't want to ever see a heart emoji until you're in the Western Conference Finals. This is the tweet I want to see from Jeannie Buss, who, again, this is in her. She should have come out and said the Lakers will immediately begin the process of finding a president who's fully committed to bringing this organization another championship. Little shot at Magic. He deserved it. Walked out, didn't give you a heads up. It's not the time for heart emojis. Pat Riley this morning, if somebody walked out on him, not doing heart emojis. There's a time and a place for those. It wasn't after somebody bailed on your world-class organization. It was adorable. It was sweet. And it looked incredibly lightweight, and you're not. I need hard-ass Jeannie. Walks in a room and people go, oh, she just fired her brother. People are a little tense. People know that you own the team. It is grown-up time. Doesn't mean you don't love Irvin. But the message last night to consumers and fans is, I still love everybody. I'd be pissed. You should be. Your late great father would be. This is not the way you do business. You should be a little angry this morning. You should be a little defiant this morning. You should take the reins this morning and go out and find the world's best GM. Magic divorced you through Facebook. He unliked you, didn't give you a heads up. Magic called Jeannie his sister. Well, guess what? Sometimes sisters have to turn to brothers and say, we're cutting you off. It's time. The Lakers are in a full-fledged circling the drain crisis. The Yankees aren't. Michigan football isn't. Duke basketball, Notre Dame football, Red Sox, Dodgers aren't, Manchester United isn't. Every big brand in the world is humming, except the Lakers. Celtics are. They're fine. Guys in the building, Clippers, they're rolling. May get Kawhi. It's crisis. All hands on deck. I want to see some butt kicking. It's in you. I've seen it. I like it. I want more of it. Coming up, Rick Bucher right around the corner. We've flown him in. I mean, on just commercial and stuff. Let's not go crazy on that. We have a budget and everything. Bukes from the Bay Area covers the NBA. He's down here today. His thoughts on what happened. One of the first to suggest a LeBron trade's not out of the question.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, we do it every day at this time. We thought we'd take a look back at Magic Johnson's 2 years, actually less than that, of running the Lakers. There was a lot of activity, a lot of it not great, but to give you some sense, maybe why he stepped down, he just came to the conclusion that I'm not great at this, I don't have the time for this, best for last.
After almost 3 hours, Colin apparently hasn't gotten to the point yet. Quit holding out on us, Cowherd. It's the best for last.
The timeline, February 21st, 2017, Magic Johnson is hired as the Lakers president of basketball operations. Same day he trades Lou Williams, their leading scorer, to the Rockets. Lou signs with the Clippers eventually. He's averaged 20 a game, one of the best shooters in the league, in a shooter's league. March 7th, he hires Rob Pelinka. No front office experience. They end up not getting along. April 20th, same year, tampering for the first time. Goes on Jimmy Kimmel, speaks about Paul George. Lakers fined $500,000. June 20th, the summer, same year, trades away D'Angelo Russell, a former number two pick. He made the All-Star team this year and is a candidate to be the most improved player in the year. Couple days later, he drafts Lonzo, number two pick, over Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, and Donovan Mitchell, who are all better at this point and healthier than Lonzo Ball. One day later, at a press conference, Magic calls him Jersey in the Rafters guy. Keys to Lonzo. Overhypes him. July 1st, a week later, the Thunder acquire Paul George. The Lakers didn't go after him because they thought they would get him in free agency the next summer. That, many believe, was a signal the Magic thing wasn't working. Then, October, we move into the fall, 2017. Magic goes in a pregame show ahead of the World Series, tampering with LeBron. Here it is.
What are you going to take to bring LeBron to the Lakers?
But you know what? We're trying to build a championship team with the Lakers, and hopefully next summer we'll be in line to sign free agents.
By the way, we move to the next year, January 2018. Tampering again, talking Giannis of the Bucks, fine $50,000. June 26. Magic said he would step down if he couldn't deliver free agents. Magic would land LeBron the following week, without question, the highlight of his tenure, though Jerry West said big deal, LeBron was already coming here. July of last year, Lakers don't retain Brooke Lopez or Julius Randle. They want cap space flexibility. That is understandable. Brooke Lopez, by the way, career highs in three-point shooting on Milwaukee. Julius Randle has found a three-point shot. July 1st of last year, Lakers don't get a meeting with Paul George. He signs an extension with Oklahoma City. No meeting, kids from L.A., bad miss. July 2018, Lakers sign what everybody called the meme team. Instead of getting shooters, where LeBron has historically worked well with all of them, they get playmakers like Rondo, Stevenson, JaVale, and Beasley, who are not elite shooters. Lakers don't get Kawhi. Rumors begin he'll go to the Clippers. The Luke Walton Magic problems off to a slow start. Magic and Luke had a meeting. Magic told Luke to shut the F up. Then January of this year, tampering again. This time Magic talked about wanting to work with Ben Simmons. 76ers GM Elton Brand said he wouldn't allow it. Then probably, outside of not getting a meeting with Paul George, the biggest mess, Joy and I have talked about this, January of this year, the Anthony Davis trade that never happened blew up the Pelicans, completely dissolved player chemistry inside the Lakers. Dell Demps got fired. Magic lost the room. Then they trade in February, Zubac, their excellent young center, acquired Mike Muscala, who's averaging under 6 points a game. March of this year, Magic and Luke stopped talking, have not spoken reportedly in 3 weeks. And yesterday, Magic Johnson steps down. Outside of that landing LeBron thing, a lot of missteps. I'm not here to pick on Magic. I don't think he was ever designed for this job, especially at this point in his life. If Magic would have chose basketball management instead of playing it 30 years ago, he'd be great at this.
It's very hard to go from being a successful businessman who can hop on a flight to an island whenever you feel like it and not have to be in smelly gyms and recruiting and studying film and all of the stuff that goes into his position. It's very hard to be out of that grind for that long and step back in it and be successful for anyone.
The old Marvin Hagler, the great boxing line, hard to get up for a workout at 4 in the morning when you're sleeping on silk sheets. In L.A., it's The Herd.